So this is Cambridge 105 Radio. It's Neil here with you for another hour. Then Steffi will be in with Drive from 4 till 6. 6 o'clock, the Cambridgeshire Football Show midweek with Ollie Slack. 7 o'clock, the New Music Generator with Tim, featuring the latest unsigned chart and look ahead to the big gigs. Live Life at 9, an experimental show that attempts to combine Cambridge's bubbling live music acts with its world-class science and technology scene. Adrian Wacker in with that one. 10 o'clock, the History of Sound. Emily Dongry taking a tour of the lesser-known works of Star Wars composer John Williams, and even Under Lamplight with Robert Louis Abramson between 11 and midnight. That's your lineup for the rest of the day. Here on Cambridge 105 Radio, I'm delighted to be joined in this. You haven't seen these people for a while, by Lawrence and Sarah from CKLG Accountants. Good afternoon to you both.
Hello.
Yeah, so as I say, long time no see, and I guess we're heading up on the busy time. It's that tax time of year again, isn't it? So.
Oh, yes, it certainly is.
Well,
we are, without sort of other things going on, we're just incredibly busy at the moment, finalising March year ends for companies. Their tax is due 1st of January. Mm. And of course, tax returns for individuals, their tax and filing is due by the end of January.
Gives you something to do over Christmas when there's not much on the telly, doesn't it?
I don't know about that.
I think there was a rumour some years ago that HMRC wanted to bring the filing of personal tax returns to the 31st of December.
Oh, that's just mean.
Which would have mean all those poor, hard-working tax advisors working over Christmas and New Year.
Yeah, that's not on, is it? Can't be doing that.
Boxing Day.
No, yeah, I always love the fact that actually it's the day before my birthday that it has to go. Cheers, so no one's got any money. Come my birthday, the drinks are on me. Anyway, I mean, here we are. We're sitting here on the eve of a general election, and I guess for accountants that is an interesting time for you guys, isn't it? Because you're just trying to stare into a crystal ball. You've been hearing about all the different political parties and looking ahead. What do we know, what do we not know, looking ahead to Friday morning?
Do you know, we're always staring into a crystal ball.
Well,
because,
that's true.
You know, with any amount of planning that you put in place, you can only work with what the law is at the moment. And, you know, whilst we have manifestos out there that from the Conservative Party, the Labour Party, the Lib Dems and others, you know, we still don't know, and we're not going to know even after Friday which direction it's all going to head. The only party which I think has come forward with a potential budget date is Labour, and that's 100 days from the general election.
Right.
That will take us to the end of March. Now, March under Philip Hammond's watch has been a bit of a non-event for tax. It's been his spring statement where he's just given us a bit of a roundup of the UK economy. In previous years, the budget has been in November, December.
Sort of autumn statement time.
That's right, and that's when we should have had it. But of course, with other things going on,
we've kind of just missing the ball on everything, aren't we?
Completely. So I think, you know, for us, it is still business as usual at the moment. You know, we are and always have done had to caveat any advice that we give. Mm. But it will be, I suspect, after Friday when we know who's in, and we know which manifestos we're looking towards, that the frenzy could begin.
Right.
So not only will we be getting accounts sorted out, tax returns done, I suspect other things will waken senses at the same time.
Okay, but the message you're sending out really is we've just got to plough on past this, haven't we? Because the country has been in paralysis, or it seems like it, for so long. We've got to be getting on with it, haven't we, Lawrence?
Absolutely. I mean, certainly planning is much easier when the uncertainties are less, but with Brexit and now with the political situation, we've actually, as a country, we've had 2-3 years of real uncertainty. And the fact is, though, that for individuals who are may need to, for instance, plan their retirement or get onto the property ladder, or they may want to do some inheritance tax planning, time doesn't stop or pause until these uncertainties are resolved. And similarly for businesses may have succession planning issues. They might want to plan for growth. They might need to take or might need to decide whether to take advantage of a particular commercial opportunity. These things have to be dealt with, notwithstanding the uncertainties.
And the thing about uncertainty is, well, for some people it's sort of, oh, these are worrying times. For other people, it does create opportunities, doesn't it? You know, you can't beat a good bit of uncertainty every now and again.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, uncertainties are a fact of life. We've always had them. It's just that at the moment they're perhaps a little bit more...
We could do with a few less.
Yes, exactly. And we've all had, certainly over the last year or so, many businesses we've heard saying, actually, it's getting to the stage where we don't mind if we remain in Europe or we exit Europe. We just want some certainty so we can plan.
Yeah. OK, so what do we know? What can businesses safely do over the coming months then? What things should they be looking at organising and getting sorted on?
that's a tricky one. I think it seems to be that, for instance, for companies, it looks like they're going to be paying a bit more tax.
Right.
Certainly Labour have announced that their plans are to increase the rates of corporation tax. The Conservatives have announced that they're not going to increase it, but they're not going to cut it as they previously announced they were.
Right.
Whether that's a tax raising or it's just leaving things...
Yes.
It's a bit of doublespeak, I think. What else are there?
That's it, really?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of what one can be certain about, there isn't a lot one can be certain about. The thing is, with the difference in the parties now are probably more extreme than they have been in, certainly within since I can remember.
Right.
And I suppose there'll be the need. What we do know is that whatever happens tomorrow, there's going to be a few months where people can perhaps scrabble around and try and do some planning. But nevertheless, it does come back to this basic point that you've still got to have your strategy. You've got to have your goals, whether it's in life, whether it's in your business. You've got to have your goals. And then it's really a case of trying to strive for your goals and actually change your path as the framework within which you're operating changes.
Sure, mm-hmm. You've got to be flexible. That's been true for businesses for years, hasn't it? That sort of flexible attitude.
That's right. And you must never actually let tax dictate, funnily enough, because, as Lawrence said, life does go on. Mm. And you know, there is always a solution. It might not have been the solution that we hoped for, but change does often present new opportunities as well. So I think, you know, we have to try and be optimistic about the future and, you know, carry on business as usual. Certainly from a private client perspective, there's certain bits of legislation that's due to come in from April. For example, off-payroll working. Now, HMRC rolled that out to the public sector a couple of years ago. And what they're now trying to do is introduce it to the private sector. And it's going to affect people who are employed by just one company. No, actually, I need to rearrange that. It's not employed. People that are engaged to carry out a service for maybe one or two companies.
Right.
Whereby if you stripped out the intermediary, their relationship really is an employee.
So is this the old IR35?
That's exactly it, Neil.
Right.
Yeah. But actually, and the onus is now going to be placed on, in inverted commas, the employer to comply.
Ah.
And certainly our clients are actually faced with having to make that decision.
Well, it is, especially in the computer industry, quite a lot of these computer programmers, they're on a three-month contract initially. And you think, oh, that's great. OK, I'm on a three-month contract, so out of that year, 25% of my work will be with this company. But that contract gets renewed and renewed and renewed, and suddenly you find you've worked all year for that company, or certainly maybe 9 months out of it. And that, at that point, in HMRC's eyes, you're an employee.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's interesting, actually, just driving over here now, Lawrence and I were just debating the roles of HR advisors within firms of companies, but actually I think their role is about to get a lot wider.
Yeah, because that really does change everything. Because people, back in the day, there was all these little limited companies, one-man band limited companies, and that was quite a clever way to do things, wasn't it? You could have all the benefits and tax advantages of a limited company, but it was you.
And that, yes, that's right. And there still are a lot of those limited companies about. It's just that up until now, in those situations, the onus on deciding whether the individual should be effectively on a PAYE scheme rested with that individual and their own limited company. If we follow what's happened in the public sector, the onus is going to be with the large customer who who takes on that service. And there is probably, if it's like the public sector, those more and more people, they're going to not want to take on the risk, and they're going to insist that all those individuals just go on their payroll.
Yeah.
And that will have potentially an enormous effect for those IT consultants and people in similar lines of business.
So around Cambridge, this is really a big, this is a hot potato, this one.
It is, and the decision, as Lawrence said, rests with, in inverted commas, the employer.
Wow.
So from April, all of a sudden, these people could find themselves on payroll. And it's really the cash flow effect that it will hit them, because they'll be paying income tax, national insurance at source on a monthly basis, as opposed to having to hopefully save up for it and then pay it after their tax return's been completed in July and January. So it's a cash flow.
And I'm guessing as well, so many of the things that are a benefit in kind are suddenly going to come into it. Oh, you get this, oh, you get that. Suddenly private health, which is probably something I'm not sure, but you could probably allow for if you're doing it in your own company. You're going to get clobbered for it if the employer has to offer it.
Well, there'll be a lot of legal wranglings over that, because if you're suddenly having to then change the nature of the contract, then the employer's going to have to look at what benefits they want to provide that employee. It is a big thing, actually. And I, you know, running up to, if we did then have a budget around the time this is coming in, you know, we're going to have we're going to be a lot of people are going to be incredibly busy with this.
And this is obviously, as I say, around here, I can imagine there's no end of it.
Yeah, and for the employer, it's not just do they have to avoid the risk, do they have to take those people onto the payroll? Mm. With that comes all the rights attached to being an employee.
Yeah. Yeah, they may not want that. And of course, a lot of these companies are American or from around. They've got very different working practices in other parts of the world, which they kind of can skirt round by having everybody as a contractor over here.
Yeah, that's right.
Great!
So that's just one thing that, you know, it's sort of quite a hot potato out there. But of course, there's also, we know that there's going to be changes to inheritance tax. Philip Hammond ordered that a couple of years ago. And also, we've got one thing important to mention is that when you're selling a residential property from next April, and you're going to have to file a separate return and pay the tax within 30 days. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I don't think people sort of quite understand the seriousness of this if they don't do that filing. Now, non-residents have had to do this since, I think it was April 15. So the system has already been tested. And HMRC have imposed penalties for late filing. They have learned their lesson in terms of getting it out there that this requirement is necessary. So, you know, I really think
that. So let's just rewind that again, because this is news to me. This is the trouble with all this Brexit noise that we've had in the news for the past, and the sort of Trump type stuff that fills the headlines up. This stuff gets out under the. It's always like every day's a good day to put out bad news at the moment, isn't it?
No. Happy Christmas.
Yeah, but so just run this again. So are we talking about second properties?
This is second properties or properties that maybe were once your home, where you've had a period of time away from your home, so you can't entirely rely on what we call the main residence exemption.
Right.
So a disposal of any residential property that might crystallise a capital gain. And at the moment, you do the maths and you fill out the details in the tax return form and you pay the tax January after the tax year that you make.
So if you're really clever about when you do it, you can make this one last forever.
Exactly. You can manage almost 23 months or so, or 22 months or so before you pay the tax. But HMRC have said no longer. We want a return and we want the tax within 30 days of completion. So that's something that lawyers, agents...
Solicitors are aware of this, aren't they? Because they're going to be really sure about this.
Yeah,
and this
absolutely.
Is going to affect timings and everything for a lot of people, just making sure the money's in the right place.
Yes, it is. I mean, you can see it kind of makes sense from a certain point of view, because actually...
Well, you're doing it while the money's floating around,
exactly,
aren't you?
Exactly. But, you know, there are regulations to follow, and we have it absolutely nailed at CKLG, having had to do it for our non-resident clients that own UK property. With the IR35, with this coming in, as well as, you know, Brexit should happen at the end of January, big question mark, potentially a budget in the spring, I think we're going to be incredibly busy.
My goodness. And you've got going digital as well.
Yep, and there's all that as well. Yeah.
Yep. Good time to take up accountancy as a profession. There's plenty of work going around at the moment, I guess.
It's never dull.
No.
Never dull.
Goodness me. So you will be resting up over Christmas, I'm hoping, because, my goodness me, you've got a bit of a year coming your way.
Yes, absolutely. I think there will be a few people in, perhaps between Christmas and New Year, trying to catch up in a quiet time. But to the outside world, we're saying we're shutting from Christmas Eve through till after January.
But on a realistic note, back in January at the latest, really, it was a lot of this stuff. People, if they're hearing some of this for the first time, like I just did, you're thinking, hang on. You know, really worth a phone call, worth a visit to you, isn't it? Just to make sure we know exactly what's around the corner. Because I'm presuming, you know, some, especially things like house sales, some of those are underway now.
Yeah, but don't forget, it's only after April 2020, unless you're a non-resident.
But you know how long these things take to happen?
Absolutely. Oh, completely.
You know, you could wind up being, this new law came in on Friday and you completed on Monday.
Exactly.
Oh, well done. If you could just fork out 30,000 quid or something. Yeah.
And you can imagine the pressure on those imminent sales whereby the seller doesn't want, you know, wants to get the job done before that comes into effect.
Yeah,
and you know, Lawrence, I remember when the stamp duty land tax charge when that increased introduced a surcharge of 3% on the purchase of additional properties from a certain date. My goodness, the land agents were busy. Everybody wanted to suddenly exchange as quickly as possible.
It's amazing how they can focus their minds when they need to, isn't it, as well? Excellent. Yeah. All right, well, there we are. You've heard it first here. Certainly I did. There we are. So that's Lawrence and Sarah. They're from CKLG Accountants. If people want to get in touch with you, though, and it's a good time to do it, either just quickly now before they shut for Christmas or in the new year. But certainly this is there's lots of advice to be taken. We'll have a clearer picture next time we see you, I hope, won't we, in January?
Big question mark.
Even that's uncertain.
Yeah, you could be right. Might be just lining up for the next election after that, can't we? Anyway, but for now, Lawrence, Sarah, thank you very much indeed for coming.